The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
If the opposition can't smell blood this year, we're as well pack it in, because even if Comerford's kickouts are as good as Cluxton's, every team is taking a step forward.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions.
So what a crazy 48 hours it has been for the British and Irish Lions. This time yesterday, we still weren't sure if their warm-up game against the Chelsea Sharks would even go ahead. And that was 90 minutes away from kickoff due to some positive tests within the Lions camp. The match did happen with players playing in somewhat unusual positions. Some players playing with even numbers on their backs. The latest news is that the Lions are going to play this Saturday. We knew that their match against the Bulls have been postponed, but the Lions have today announced that they're going to play the Sharks again on Saturday at 5 o'clock. That match will be live right here on Off the Ball. Neve Briggs alongside Neil Tracy on commentary. Every single match of the Lions tour, wherever and whenever they happen, will be live right here on Off the Ball and on News Talk. And it's all with thanks to Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions. Brian O'Driscoll is with us to try and make sense of it all, maybe, Brian.
Good evening, Nathan. I don't know if there's any making sense of it. We were looking forward to a test series against South Africa. It looks like we're getting a test series against the Lions, or against the Sharks, I should say. Twice in a week. I know that we were having to deal with this because of COVID, and there's, you know, talk about the adaptability and reacting to new circumstances, but at times it's becoming farcical. And just hearing a little bit of intel from inside the camp, you know, you have to really feel for these players and management. This isn't normal in any shape or form. This is not a Lions tour as we know it. And even the watered down version, you know, other than what we're seeing on the field, it can't be any fun. It simply can't be. And that's what Lions tours are about. And that's how you know, tie groups together. And that's how you give them a sense of purpose, is because they've integrated themselves and they've become Lions, of not these individuals from four different countries. So I feel as though we're going down a very dangerous path from the Lions perspective, from the future brand, and the trouble that's potentially coming. But I don't know what to make of it. It's just farcical. It's a money play bigger than we had anticipated.
That is the most interesting point in this, that financially there is an imperative, it seems, for this tour to go ahead. But as you say, the actual consequences of potentially a test series having to be called off 2-3 days in advance because we don't know what way COVID is going to go. But financially, the long-term impact on the Lions and the brand that has been built up to be one of the strongest brands in world sport over decades upon decades, and commercially, that is such a behemoth, you would have to wonder what damage this is doing behind the scenes to the Lions commercially.
You would have to. I think this is trying to break even, this tour. It's not, or even suffer a small loss. The reality is, commercially, it's a disaster. There's no crowds. I can't imagine what merchandise sales is like. The thing about the Lions is, and Austin Healey wrote an article in the Telegraph today, and he made some pretty bold statements. But the reality is, it's turned into a money-making machine. It has, and it's the thing is that is usually wrapped in the supporter base, the sea of red, the community experiences, and the players having a great time and getting to play and train with people they have huge respect for. So I suppose the money-making component gets lost in all of that, and it's palatable, whereas it's less palatable at the moment because, you know, the Lions, more than any other team in rugby, I think, is dependent on the crowds, on that supporter base, on those four countries coming together. And they're having none of that. They're not able to feed from any energy whatsoever coming from the crowd. You're getting a totally diluted version of what being a Lion is all about. So all of these factors, you know, put into the melting pot are actually causing, in my opinion, damage to the overall brand. That said, I understand the need for them to go and try and see out this tour, because it's potentially financial ruin and bankruptcy if they don't manage to get through this test series. You know, we're talking tens of millions lost, and you know, who ends up footing the bills would be the home unions, and whether they have the stomach to do that. There's just so many different aspects coming from all sides that it feels like it's a bit of a no-win situation, no matter what comes of it.
Mm. And the players are the pawns in all of this. As a player, what can you do if you're in the midst of this and you've signed up for a tour and there are positive tests around you? There is a complete unknown as to how this virus is going to go in South Africa over the coming weeks. As a player, do you just have to suck it up and shut up and play? Or do you think actually, as this continues, the players may start to find a bit of a voice?
Good question, Nathan. I don't know is the honest answer to that. I think, first of all, you have to remember as well, they're very much in the honeymoon period of being on a Lions tour. They're quite well versed in dealing with COVID over the course of the last 15 months. So all of these circumstances, as much as it's new on this Lions tour, it's not particularly new to them. They'd have this incessant testing. There's been games called off, you know, for almost every player I would imagine involved in that squad. So, it's all about adjusting to the circumstances. But as things go on, and as games potentially get cancelled and guys don't get the game time that they would have envisaged, they aren't having the experience that all previous Lions tours have and previous Lions players have talked about it being the pinnacle of their career. When they, you know, particularly these new Lions, when they come in and realize this isn't the pinnacle of playing rugby, this is a slog, this is a battle. Mm. And you know, I don't care what great team spirit you manage to build up through the success in the games, it's very hard to keep 36 or 37 players happy where there's no fun, there's no real getting out and seeing the country, seeing the supporters, feeling the energy from them. I don't know what their days off entail, whether they're going to be able to go off and play golf or do, you know, shark diving or all that carry on. That's part of touring South Africa. That's part of the experiential piece. And that has such a huge impact on the overall happiness of a squad, of people enjoying themselves, having fun, enjoying one another's company. And as I said, you know, they're only week one into traveling over there. They've had a couple of weeks in Jersey. It's week 3, 4, and 5, you know, particularly 4 and 5, when the test matches come around and players realize they're not in the reckoning, that they're going to really come up against it. And I wonder, on the basis of that, does Warren Gatlin then have his hand forced a little bit, where he's going to have to pick very different test teams over the course of 3 weeks just to keep all players on side? Because if you start losing 5 or 10 players because they're not involved in the test, you know, setup, that's such a massive negative knock-on consequence to the rest of the squad. So does he need to keep things fresh and through the first couple of test matches, irrespective of what the results are in them? Maybe. He'll have to look at that approach as being something he might have to go to.
It does feel as though already they can't afford another 24 hours like the one that they have just had. And when you listen to Ian Henderson after the match saying that 2 hours before kickoff, the players are sitting in their hotel rooms, they don't know if the match is going to take place. They don't know what players are going to be available if the match can take place. And that all of that just developed over the next half an hour. There has been a press conference this afternoon. This is the Lions managing director, Ben Calverley. So he's been talking about the lengths that they're going to in order to allow the tour proceed safely.
Well, look, what I would say is that it is a challenge, right? This is a challenge. I'm definitely not going to sit here and say that this is easy, but we are absolutely determined to make it work. And we've put measures in place to make it work. So we're living in a very strict biosecure environment where we're governed by very strict protocols. We have a medical advisory group in place that has, independent virologists and infectious disease specialists that advise us on what we can and can't do. This is the same for the Lions and the Springbok camp. We're tested frequently, minimum three times a week. We have no interactions with the general public. We're playing in far fewer venues than would originally have been the case. And of course, we don't have fans in the venue. So we're doing everything we possibly can to make sure that this tour will go ahead, and we are determined to make it a success.
They're clearly taking every possible precaution, yet still one member of the management team tested positive. They had four close contacts yesterday, two of whom were players, two staff. He was saying in the press conference that they immediately isolated that group. But then, having tested everybody else, another player tested positive. It seems like it was a very low-level positive. And because of that, there were eight more close contacts. They're hopeful that that player, having been retested, came back negative, will come back negative again, which will mean they're able to play and all the close contacts will be able to play. But once again, Warren Gatland will probably be waiting until the day of the game before he can actually select a starting 15. Austin Healey, you mentioned, was saying maybe they should just bring the test series back to the UK. Tommy Bull was on with us last night, building up, saying something similar. Could they actually just look to flying everybody back to the UK and play the three test series back in the UK? Is that something they should be thinking about?
I think it's got to be taken as a possible viable option, just on the basis that, you know, if the test series isn't finished, it potentially could bankrupt either the Lions or indeed the Springboks. So when you're looking at the severity of those outcomes, you have to take on board every option available to you. And you know, they couldn't manage to get the series played in the UK when that was touted, you know, 3-4 months ago. There was talk about, you know, no one would underwrite it. That's my understanding of it. But anyway, it was decided that South Africa was going to be safe enough to come and play it in. That's clearly transpired to not be the case. So if they could guarantee, you know, the two teams to travel back to the UK, you know, do their 10-day quarantine and potentially play a test series and guarantee, you know, full stadia. I don't know, logistically, can you even turn things around in that short space of time? And Twickenham, you know, people are talking, Austin was talking about, you know, Twickenham, Cardiff and Murrayfield. But you have to remember that these things are years in the making. They can't just be flipped and turn around in no time whatsoever. So as much as it's easy for us to, you know, shout options and ideas, I think the reality is I'm not sure whether they can be achieved. But at the moment, there's huge skepticism as to whether you're going to get to see three test series against South Africa in South Africa under the current circumstances of what's happened in the last week. So I would imagine that conversation is maybe taking place just to test the water as to whether that, you know, could happen if it continues going the way it currently is.
It must be putting an enormous mental strain on the players, and one that they can't get a release from in the way that you normally would on a Lions tour, which you just outlined, because they don't know where this virus is going. And yes, while the players are young, fit, healthy men, we have heard any amount of stories of long COVID, of the effect it can have on people. And also, not everybody in that camp is a young, fit, healthy man. There are plenty of people behind the scenes who are in their 50s, in their 60s, who are now in a part of the world where this virus is running rampant. So I'm sure it's a very, very nervous time for everybody who's in the camp.
It undoubtedly is. And I think you've seen it with other sports and the impact that, you know, long time away from family and friends in restrictive circumstances, what it's done to their mental health. And I think, you know, specifically, you're probably talking about the cricketers are the ones that seem to be impacted significantly in the past. I would have huge concerns. I really would, about the mental state of the players after 5 or 6 weeks of doing this, and the uncertainty. And see, we're getting to watch 80 minutes at the end of, you know, once on a Wednesday or Tuesday or Wednesday, and once on a Saturday. Think about all that other time in between. And there's only so much time you can train as well. And players will be at their happiness expressing themselves and getting to play and train with you know, with the best players in the UK and Ireland, something very exciting about Lions training. But the reality is everything else is downtime or time away from the game. And that is as important a part to play in a Lions tour as the training and the preparation piece. So I would really fear for the mental state of the players, of the staff as well, the circumstances that they're finding themselves in. Because you're right, it does feel a little bit like they're the pawns. But the reality is, and I don't want to be sitting on the fence on both sides of the argument, but the reality is, if this doesn't happen, is it catastrophic to the Lions in 4 years' time and 8 years' time, potentially? So I can see why it's being forced through, even though morally it even seems wrong with, you know, with what's going on in South Africa.
Hmm. It'll be interesting if there are any injuries, how easy they will find it to call players up who are still back in Ireland, England, Scotland, Wales, looking on at this, thinking, actually, yes, I might have dreamed of playing for the Lions, but maybe I'm better off staying at home.
Yeah, you're not going to turn it down, though, Nathan, no matter what. You know, even if you've been a two or three time right. Lion and you get called, it's too big an honour, and it's you know, too prestigious to feel as though you can pass something up like that. And sorry, I'm only asking from my own point of view. If that had been the case, I would have jumped at the opportunity of going down and you know, trying to force my way into a test team. But you know, it's bananas where this has gone to and how it's been allowed progress the way it has. And it feels like they can't get off this runaway train at the moment, that you're almost waiting day by day for a kind of change of route or a different eventuality. And that's why it makes it so farcical at times. You know, the fact they're playing the Sharks, you know, twice in 1 week is ridiculous. But yet they need the game time. So I can understand why they're doing that as well. But I think there's a lot more to play out in this, you know, obviously with regard to games and the potential for cancelled games, but also what this tour is going to look like in 2 weeks' time. I know it's 16 days to the first test match. In 2 weeks' time, where are these players at, where they've 2 more weeks of being stuck in a Joburg hotel or a Cape Town hotel, and they've told all the stories they have, they've made all the flat whites that they can have, you know, and they've, you know, done all the fines that you know, possibly can without actually having any crack. I would really worry about where it's going to end up.
It's such an unprecedented situation. I'm not sure how anything that's gone on in previous tours can compare. But Tommy Bowe was making the point last night from a rugby point of view that the Lions are probably better prepared for dealing with situations like this, like they had yesterday, where there's radical changes to the team 2 hours before kickoff, because that's part of the gig with the Lions, that things change rapidly. You're always having new partnerships. You're always having betting in processes that from a purely rugby point of view, actually, if this was with Ireland, you'd be freaking out completely because you've spent months preparing everything to a T. Whereas with the Lions, actually, there's always a little bit of the off the cuffness that makes it so brilliant.
And that's a throwback to amateur times, you know, where the expectation was to, you know, play Wednesday and sometimes, you know, double up and play Saturday. And that's the circumstance that they find themselves in previous tours and all the more so now, you know, when you're looking at a 7-1 split on the bench, it makes for funny viewing. But, you know, having those conversations with Hamish Watson or Toby Faletau, as Warren Gatland said he was, about the potential for them to end up in the wing or in the centre, I suppose you are better equipped in the Lions to deal with that, because you don't have any hard and fast rules as to how you do anything. This is a number of individuals that play for their national teams all being pushed into the same team for a shortened, condensed period of time over 7 weeks and then made fit, which, you know, I talked about before being a bizarre concept in itself. So, yes, you absolutely have to have an agility to different circumstances, to maybe doing something that your national team doesn't or that your club team doesn't do, but that you have to show a flexibility because that's what Lions is about. So I would agree with Tommy that they're better equipped to be able to deal with The issues being thrown at them, albeit they're getting more and more challenging by the day.
Warren Gatland seemed to be suggesting that this is something that will bring them together. The fact that everything that could go wrong is going wrong, and actually they've dealt with it. They went out last night and they still performed and they still won well. That somehow they can use this experience as a positive. I guess as a coach, he's got to say that.
He does, but I have to say I've been impressed with their performances. You know, they were good in the first half against Japan. They were... you know, they were decent last week. I thought, again, scored over 50 points against a disappointing Sharks team. But they're, the quality of some of the tries, the handling, the way they're trying to play the game, it looks as though they've got a pretty clear idea as to what way they're wanting to build towards this test series. And yes, Warren Gatland has to, you know, talk about the glass half full and find a way to motivate his squad when they're going to be struggling. But it's a bit of an unenviable task. I'd love to, a penny for his real thoughts. And we're not going to get them, you know, on the snapshot interviews before games or afterwards. But I would love to know what he is thinking deep down as to how this tour should play out, whether he's looking at it as a challenge that, you know, you couldn't have imagined, or whether he's thinking that it's becoming a bit farcical like the rest of us.
And that is the biggest concern, as you say, that 16 days away from the first test, that if on the Friday suddenly there's another outbreak in either team, that it completely undermines actually the value of the entire test series as well. So even if they get there, from a sporting point of view, you want the test series to be something that actually fits into the history of the Lions, that we can compare it to previous test series, and that is completely out of everyone's control. When you say
but
you like
won't,
what they're...
Nathan, though, it won't even on that. Sorry to interrupt, but it won't, because there's not going to be any crowds there. So straight away, it can't. We're always going to look back on it. Even if there's, you know, momentous moments, you think about Lions tours, and I think back to 12 years in Loftus-Versfeld, or, you know, in Durban. You think about the atmosphere, you think about the sea of red, you think about the noise and the energy that you fed off. There's none of that. And I know we haven't had that predominantly for the last 15 months, but that is at its most important for Lions tours, because, you know, the point I made, it's the amalgamation of four teams. So you've got to find an energy from somewhere. Going into hostile environments, and it doesn't get much more hostile than South Africa, but yet it probably won't feel the same. So straight away, it's going to be a diluted version of what we've experienced, and it will be hard to compare, you know, this tour to, you know, previous ones, 97 and 09, irrespective of what the rugby churns out, because fans are everything on Lions tours, and we're not getting them. Supporters is what makes it so special, and unfortunately they're going to have to play, you know, without that one way or another.
From such a high for Conor Murray a couple of weeks ago when he was announced as the captain, to last night, one of the players who wasn't able to be involved in the squad, I don't think we've spoken to you since the injury to Alan Wynne-Jones and Conor Murray's promotion. What can he do in a scenario like this?
Yeah, it's a really tough challenge for Conor. Yeah, I guess I was, you know, quite surprised, like most people, that he was named captain. See, just on the back of him not being captain of his club previously or the national team, it's relatively unusual that someone's picked, you know, not having some form of captaincy experience. That said, he's a very popular guy. I think he's very well respected. He's well spoken. He's, you know, he's thoughtful in what he said. So I don't think that he's a poor choice in any shape or form. I think he'll do a very proficient job. But it's a very unenviable task to be a captain in this environment. And I don't think any experience will actually, you know, work in your favor if you had it going in and trying to captain in with the circumstances the way they are. Just trying to keep team spirit up is the big thing. But that's everyone's responsibility. I don't think that's solely on Conor Murray's shoulders. You know, just trying to, you know, keep things positive, keep the message and the energy high, and make sure that when they are, you know, switched off from the rugby side of things, that there's plenty to do, that there is entertainment, that guys aren't, you know, heading off to their room and separating themselves from the squad and being lost, as was the case in 2005. You know, when we all roomed on our own, that was the issue, that, you know, you barely saw some individuals, because when the tour started slipping away from us and you know, got quite challenging, people almost retreated to their room and went into their shells. And that's the last thing you want to happen on a Lions tour. It's all about getting out there and integrating with one another and continually building that that energy amongst one another for that test series, because you have to know the guy beside you to properly fight for him when it comes to those tiny moments in winning or losing a test series. You have to know that he has your back, and that is only built from the momentum of what's gone on the tour previously and investing in one another.
Mm. You said there, with the games you've seen so far, you like what they're building towards. What's your sense then of what they are trying to do?
Well, they're definitely trying to push the pass a little bit. I think there was lots of great offloading. Again, I do think you have to make reference. At times a bit of a shambolic Sharks defense. They were kind of defending in very different ways, some shooting, some playing soft. And so it played into the Lions' hands a number of times. You know, for the Van der Merwe first try, I think it was, where Farrell kicked through, where there was literally no one in a 40 square meter radius because a fullback closed the gap. Like, that's schoolboy stuff. So I do think you have to take into account the opposition that they've come up against and that they're going to come up against again this weekend. But what you're looking at with the quality of ball handlers in the pack in particular, you know, you've got some of the best passers out there in the 3-10s and Bigger Farrell and Finn Russell. And then, you know, you've had lots of good performers, you know, guys like Bundy and Robbie Henschel went well in the first game. And then Chris Harris went well in game two. And then Elliot Daly went well in the 13 jersey yesterday. So there's lots of good performers. It feels as though if you have a substandard performer, you could be discounted. The other battles, you look at the 7 jersey where Hamish Watson played very well, but Tom Curry was very good again. So there's lots of those micro battles going on for vying for that test spot. And, you know, they're scoring lots of tries. They're clearly starting to bond, because you can feel the energy amongst one another, but it is still early days in that regard. And whether that momentum can be continued, we'll have to wait and see.
Most people have Liam Williams and Anthony Watson as their probable starting wingers. When you look at a player like Josh Adams and the momentum that he has, hat trick and what, 8 tries in 3 games now, 7 of them since they got to South Africa, how important is momentum, and how important is it that momentum is rewarded by the coaching staff when you talk about that dynamic that is at play for Warren Gatland? Does Adams need to be rewarded for that by forcing himself closer into the picture for the test team?
Like, if he continues playing that way and scoring tries, very, very hard to leave a guy that's as prolific as he is at the minute out of the test team. Very difficult. And you look at someone like Anthony Watson. I know he played in the first game against Japan. You know, didn't do a huge amount, didn't get an awful lot of ball. And he must be looking on enviously at Josh Adams, at the amount of moments that he's had, but also how he's been able to turn touches into tries. Like, 8 in 3 games is absolutely remarkable. And he talked afterwards about, you know, strikers feeding off scoring goals. Well, wingers do that likewise. And I just think when you've got a guy scoring that many tries in short succession, his confidence has to be booming. And it just allows you to minimize your errors thereafter, and then feel as though you're capable of anything. You're capable of scoring, you know, 1 or 2, even against the best defenses in the world, which South Africa ordinarily are. So I think Josh Adams now is right in pole position as one of the wingers, albeit going in, I wouldn't have thought that he would have been in the 23, but I've been impressed with him. He's always had an edge to him. He likes the nasty stuff as much as he likes the try scoring, but there's a habit of just being in the right place at the right time and not giving up. And he runs those, a bit like Chris Ashton, he runs those lines time and time again. It's a big engine on him. And eventually he gets those offloads. And it just happens that he's you know, run in a couple of handy ones, but he's had to work hard for some of the other ones too. So, yeah, I'd be concerned if I was Anthony Watson. I think Van der Merwe is probably going to be on the outside, because I think defensively, you know, we haven't seen his vulnerabilities yet. I have some question marks around that. I think Rhys Samet is probably a bit lightweight and just a little bit inexperienced to be playing in the test team. So maybe Watson and himself and Adams will get into the test team, but I think there's still plenty to play out before that's selected.
You tweeted last night that you reckon you have to have Owen Farrell in your test team, just a matter of where. So yeah. If you're picking right now, where is he? I think when the squad was announced, you had Bigger at 10 and Farrell at 12.
Yeah, I think I'd probably stay with that. I do think Owen Farrell's a bit better at 10. You know, people are wondering on Owen Farrell, he hasn't had a great season, all that. I think it's watching his ability to keep the ball alive. He doesn't panic when he gets caught in possession. There was one for the Van der Merwe try where Simmons threw the long pass. He ran out of options. He got hit. But just before he fell to the ground, he just popped the ball up to Ali Price, who gave the ball to Simmons, who then threw the pass to Van der Merwe. It's those small moments where there's no panic. He's a calmness about him, and that experience counts for a huge amount. It's going to be a different type of game plan. He obviously doesn't give you the same go forward as a Bundiaki or maybe a, you know, Chris Harris, but then you can have Robbie Henshaw doing that for you if you're partnering with him, or partnering them together. So I do feel as though he's that test match animal, as Ian McGeachan likes to call it. He's got the mentality that you want in a leader, and he's always organizing things. And he sees the game very late, and it's nice having that at 10. It's even better having it at 12, particularly if you've got someone like Dan Biggar playing as well as he is. So I think on the back of that, they're my starting three-quarter line right now, with Robbie playing at 13.
And if you're trying to get into the head of Warren Gatland and what he decides on Owen Farrell, do you think it is totally dependent on the game plan, or is it more dependent on the form of other players? So if Dan Biggar is in exceptional form by then, yes, you're happy to play Farrell at 12, or if Dan Biggar is a bit of a dip, does that change your thinking as well, and actually you want Owen Farrell at 10?
Like, my sense would be that I think Warren really likes Bundy, and I think he likes that aggressiveness and the abrasiveness that South Africa will bring to the Lions. I think he likes, you know, he's always liked that in his own teams, has Gats. You know, Bundy's big and physical, and not that Owen Farrell isn't, but he kind of brings a different type of dimension that way. And I think that's also why Chris Harris has been selected, because he brings, you know, he's a big guy, he's a good defender, you know, carries really hard. So I think sometimes Warren hasn't been someone that's looked for that second distributor. But this is about getting your best players on the park. And, you know, when you've got the best players, they're capable of playing the games multiple ways. And the kicking game from Owen Farrell will be very important as well. Kicking going to be vital to the winning and losing of this test series. And having a very good kicker at 12, as well as at halfback, is really important to strategize, make sure your team is, you know, playing in the right part of the field, to keep your forwards moving in the right direction. And they'll be thankful for the likes of the clever footballers like Farrell is, to be able to nudge them around the park. So I just feel as though there's more factors starting to lean towards Owen Farrell than there is the other centres.
All our Lions coverage here on OTB Sport is brought to you by Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions. And a reminder, we'll have commentary of the Lions against the Sharks once again from 5 o'clock on Saturday. Neve Briggs alongside Neil Tracy. Loads of build-up as well from 4 o'clock. Just briefly, Brian, before we let you go, Ireland are obviously playing again in the Vodafone Summer Series. They're playing the USA on Saturday evening at the Aviva. This is an opportunity for Andy Farrell to try out several new caps. Your thoughts on the performance against Japan? It did at times feel eerily reminiscent of the game at the World Cup and how they were able to cut through Ireland and Ireland's lack of adventure, maybe being exposed by the Japanese players.
Yeah, well, I think most teams look as though they're not particularly adventurous against Japan. They've got to be one of the best teams in world rugby to watch at the moment. And no longer are they the Japanese team that, my era would have played against, where it was a bit of fight for the first half an hour, but then you put them to the sword. This is a brilliantly coached Japanese team now that has some very, very good players, and they've got a nice balance to homegrown talent, and they've brought in some overseas Islanders in particular that give them the brute force. So the balance looks really, really impressive. Tony Brown and Jamie Joseph have done a phenomenal job there the last 4 or 5 years. And I think they're a great, great side to watch. They're inventive, their skill set's brilliant. And so they're going to cause trouble for anyone, and which they certainly did for us. It did feel as though we tightened up a little bit and went back to the box kicking game and we're less inventive ourselves in the second half, but it got the result. And I think that was the really important thing, certainly from the messaging from Andy Farrell and from all those, from James Ryan and those that were interviewed. They gave great credit to Japan, but also talked the importance of the victory against a top quality opposition. And I have to say, I think they landed all the right comments, because that was a quality Japanese team, and one that will get progressively better now that they've had a World Cup based in Japan, now that there's greater player numbers starting to come to the fore. So I on the whole of it, I think lots to improve on, but good to get a victory.
And do we just need a bit more patience with Joey Carberry for a player with 23 caps, because he's been out for so long? It's not really a player with 23 caps.
No, it's not. He can't have his confidence levels back up. When you take that level of period of time, the guts of a year out of the game, and then it's your opportunity. There's a lot of pressure being put at him. I don't know if physically in his head and his body he feels the same as he did pre-World Cup. He's the only one that knows that, but it will take a bit of time. He's a class operator. We're aware of that. We've seen some of the magic in over the last 2 or 3 years since his debut in Soldier Field. God, what's that, going back to 2016 now? So he has all the traits to be a top-class international. He just needs a little bit of time. In some ways, he probably needs a proper run at it. And maybe, he's not going to get that for the time being until Jonathan Sexton retires. But his class will shine through, and it's just a matter of getting more game time in the green jersey, and he'll be better for it. So we do need to be patient with him, because I definitely feel as though he is the obvious answer if Johnny Sexton's not going to be around for this next World Cup.
We'll get another Six Nations out of the conversation, though, of should we stick with Johnny Sexton or should we give somebody else a chance? So there's always that.
There is always that. And listen, I've been very vocal about how important Johnny remains to the team. I've had a conversation saying, if you still feel you're capable of delivering, why would you retire? And I think he is still vitally important to that Irish setup. He's right now the best number 10 I see. And I think come the World Cup, he will be in the top two number 10s in the country. So why would you pack it in when you could get another World Cup out of it and hold off on getting back into the real world for another year or two?
Brian, great stuff as always. Hopefully it's just rugby on the pitch we're talking about next time with the Lions. Enjoy the games at the weekend.
Cheers. Talk to you, Nathan. Thanks.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions.